I guess the song was pretty fitting tonight, Spirit Lead Me, because I want to talk to you, church and fellowship youth, tonight about living a Spirit-empowered life. Something that gets talked about every camp, I feel like, is the tendency teens, they go to camp, make decisions, and revert to old habits right when they get back. One thing I don't think we talk about enough is the teens that go to camp and don't make any decisions at all and come back the exact same way they were before they went. But the reason for that, I think, and it's going to be grounded in our text a little bit, is it's our tendency as disciples of Jesus, isn't it? And the tendency of teenagers to spend time on earth building a kingdom of your own. But I want you to see tonight that God has sent you a promise. He has sent you a person. And that person is the third person of the Trinity named the Holy Spirit. And he has been sent to you to keep you on mission, to keep you on track, to keep you from reverting back to old habits. And if you didn't make any decisions at camp, to start you off on a new decision tonight. Tonight. So that's the purpose tonight. That fellowship youth group wouldn't try to sustain commitments they made at camp in their own power or revert to their old ways, but they would be sustained by, rely on, and trust in the Spirit to empower them to live for Jesus. I want to show you from the Bible that this is exactly what Jesus did for his followers right before he ascended into heaven. Before he went to rejoin his Father, he had some final parting words for his disciples. And we'll find those words in Acts chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? Acts chapter number 1. Find your gospel books, the red letters. And right after John, you're going to find the book of Acts. If you find yourself in the Ans, the Inthians, the Asians, the Asians, you've gone way too far. Acts chapter number 1. We're going to read the whole text in its entirety and come back and make a few points of application. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but that they should wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Sounds like a good deal. When? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay, what do we do with it? What's he coming upon us for? Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, fill this sermon with your Spirit. Fill this sanctuary with your Spirit. Anoint myself, every teen in the youth department, every member of Fellowship Baptist Church, and every person under this roof, Lord. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, if we don't have your Spirit, we don't have a fighting chance staying on mission for you. Would you empower us tonight? Would you embolden us tonight? Would you rest on us tonight? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing we see tonight is this. The risen Savior, that's Jesus, speaks to his disciples through the Spirit he promised to send them. The risen Savior speaks to his disciples through the Holy Spirit he promised to send them. The first thing we have to realize tonight is this. Jesus is risen. To be on mission for Jesus, the first thing that you as young people must come to grips with is that Jesus is risen. If we don't serve a risen Savior, we don't have a Savior to serve. That's what the book of Acts is all about. The disciples didn't just decide one day that they wanted to start a new religion and turn the world upside down. That's not how it worked. No, they had a motive. The book of Acts and the rest of church history springs out of one crucial truth. That if this truth were to not be true, the entire ship would sink. And I am talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You notice verse 3. Whom he also showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. 40 days. Speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. When Jesus rose from the grave, he made sure for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, to his apostles, I am alive. I'm no phantom. I didn't fall asleep. I didn't go unconscious. Nothing like that happened. I was dead, but now I am alive. The only reason you come out of hiding from Roman soldiers, the only reason you come out of hiding from masses of people that thought your master was a sham, is because that guy died and then he came back to life. And you believe he's alive with all your heart. Look at Acts 2:22 real quick. You men of Israel, hear these things. Hear these words. Peter's preaching. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. So you knew Jesus. You knew God's hand was on Jesus. But him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You didn't plan this. God planned this. But you were using this. You have taken him, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him. He's reminding them of that dark truth, that it was they themselves that put Jesus on a cross. He says, you took him, you crucified him, you slain him. But it doesn't stop there. Not at all. The same Jesus whom, verse 24, God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Even if the grave, the devil, whoever wanted to keep him, nothing could keep Jesus in the grave. So if you're going to stay on mission, young people, you have to come to grips with this truth tonight, right here, right now, tonight. Is Jesus alive or is he dead? If he's alive, that changes everything. If he's dead, leave. Because what we're doing is vain. You've got to come to grips with that tonight, young people. Do you serve a risen Savior? Or is he somewhere in a tomb in Israel? The second thing we see is this. Jesus speaks to his disciples through his Spirit. Look at verse 2. Until the day which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles. So here we find out that Jesus speaks to his disciples through his Holy Spirit. Young people, Jesus speaks to you through his Holy Spirit. How does he do that? Firstly, Jesus speaks to you through his Spirit. And the first and foremost place the Spirit speaks to you is through his Word. Look at verse 16 of chapter 1. It says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, What scripture? Well, that which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. You see, it wasn't just David talking. It wasn't just David's pen moving. No, the Holy Spirit was speaking through David. So what does that tell me? That tells me that the words in my Bible, though written by faithful men, were authored by a holy God. Thought of a few books, random books really. Authors, Joel. Joel's in the book of Acts. Peter quotes Joel. You know who really wrote Joel? The Holy Spirit. Isaiah? The Holy Spirit. Solomon? The Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James. All spoken through the Holy Spirit. So, you need to understand tonight, young people, to be on mission, that this isn't just a man-authored book. It is God's book. Spoken by the Spirit of God. If you want to be led by the Spirit, if you want to be filled by the Spirit, if you want to be guided by the Spirit, you have to be in His book every single day. Not only does He speak to you through His Word, but He also guides you in everyday, mundane moments of life. It's called practicing the presence of God. Why do we call it that? Because if you're a Christian right now, there will never be a moment in your life where God Himself won't be present with you. 1 Corinthians 6, it refers to us as being the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in us. In Galatians 5, Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. If the Spirit be in you, then walk by the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by wine. Don't be governed by wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means be controlled, be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to listen up, young people. It's one thing to possess the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to have Him. It's one thing to have Him. That happens when you repent and turn to Jesus. It's another thing to be filled with the Spirit or led by the Spirit every day. Some of you came into possession of the Holy Spirit many, many years ago, but He hasn't led you in one single day since. There's a difference. If you're going to have a Spirit-empowered life, if you're going to stay on mission for Jesus, hey, let's wake up tonight. You've got to be filled by Him every single day of your life. One author said it best when he said this. Listen to this. The Spirit-filled life yields every decision to the control of the Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is living every moment as though you are standing in the presence of Jesus. It is nothing more than living in the conscious presence of the indwelling Christ. What does that look like? How would you talk to your parent that just provoked you if Jesus were standing in the room? It's that simple. What would you watch in your room at night when you're all by yourself if Jesus was in the room with you? What would you do with that boy or that girl if Jesus was on every date? Would you even date that person if Jesus was with you? How hard would you work at your job if Jesus was there? How kind would you be to that weirdo in the youth group if Jesus was with you when you walked by them? What would you give up at night or early in the morning to spend extended time with Him, just you and Him, if you knew without a shadow of a doubt He was literally going to be there? What would you give up? You'd give up everything. Anything. Well, I have news for you, Christian. I have news for you, Christian. I have news for you, young people. Jesus is always in the room. But He isn't just in the room. He is in your heart. Those examples I gave, that's what a Spirit-filled life looks like. Every decision, they come. They come to your mind and you make them as though Christ were literally in the room with you. To be on mission, you must not only have the Holy Spirit, but be filled with Him every day, living in the presence of God, moment by moment. Number two, disciples should build Jesus' kingdom and not their own. Are you listening tonight? Have you already checked out? I need to know you're with me. Let's go. Wake up. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, without this time, restore again the kingdom of Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You see, the disciples asked Jesus when he would restore the kingdom of Israel. This seemed to be the hot topic with the disciples, did it not? Even after Jesus died and arose from the grave, it was kind of their hobby horse. Right? They're concerned with Israel's kingdom. Their hobby horse. Have you ever been around someone that's got a hobby horse? Have you ever been around someone that just started a new diet? Yeah? Hey, I just started keto. You ought to try it. No, it's good. It's good. I've lost 15 pounds in one day. You know what I'm talking about? And every time you're around them, they're talking about their keto. Another hot one that I myself used to be into, but I'm not really into anymore, intermittent fasting. You ever been around people that just started intermittent fasting? Hey, do you want to get some brunch? Can't. Fasting. Hey, we're going to go out for half-price appetizers at Applebee's after church. You want to come? No. It's in my fasting window. Can't. Right? People have hobby. You ever been around people with hobby horses? Working out. Always talking about the workout they did. COVID. Elections. Their new relationship. For me right now, my hobby horse is Star Wars. I know. I'm a weirdo. When we first kind of got into Star Wars, I used to hate it, but I kind of got into it. Now I really love it. When I first got into it, it was Teller's hobby horse. Every night that me and Teller would lay down before bed, Teller would say, let's talk about Star Wars. And I'd say, what about it? He'd say, all of it. This was the hobby horse of the disciples. Lord, when's the kingdom of Israel going to be restored? When's it going to be put back together? Hey, when are we going to finally take over what's rightfully ours? And Jesus' answer isn't really surprising. He says what he typically always says. Verse 7, he says, it's not your concern, disciples. It's not your worry, disciples. My Father will decide that. You just stay on mission. But don't we do the same thing? Disciples were concerned about their earthly kingdom, not their heavenly one. And we do the exact same thing. Fellowship youth, do not waste your time building your kingdom. You see, you'll be tempted by a sport to leave the mission Jesus has for you. You'll be tempted by a job to leave the mission Jesus has for you. You'll be tempted by a relationship. You'll be tempted by a hobby. You'll be tempted by exhaustion. You'll be tempted by sin in your life. You're going to be tempted to leave God's mission for your life. Can I tell you this? Don't. Just don't. They're going to come all of the time. Stay on mission. You know, Pastor Tyler, it saddened me. It saddened me on the way to church because I went through the roll call for camp last year. I counted about 20 kids that went to camp last year that didn't come this year that were eligible to come this year. We took two less kids to camp this year than we did last year. Just two. If we'd have taken every kid to camp that went last year this year, we'd have had easily 65 kids go to camp this year. You say, what happened? How'd you drop the ball? How'd you really mess that up, Brother Tanner? Well, there were certain kingdoms that were just too pressing. I'm talking about the kingdom of sports and jobs. I can count on maybe both hands, may have to take off my shoes. How many kids told me that they weren't going to come because of their sport in the month of June? I can count a few that said, I can't go, I've got a job. This is the kingdom of heaven we're talking about here. You see, we don't go, parents. We don't go, students. We don't go to camp just to go to Six Flags. We go because we need to get away as a group and hear Jesus speak to us. Amen. Can I ask you something, church? Be honest with me. Did this group right here worship in song the way they did tonight before they went to camp? No. We need camp. We need camp. But I'm afraid, if we're not careful, our little kingdoms on our basketball courts and our football fields and our minimum wage jobs that we want to have just so we can go to Glick's every couple weeks or Hibbett. I get it. There's some legitimate reasons why kids didn't go to camp this year. I get all of that. It was out of their control. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, young people, that if you're not careful, the little kingdoms that you have spring up in your heart all the time are going to get you off track and keep you off mission. Can I just encourage you, leave your kingdom behind and follow the Spirit into the mission that Jesus has for you. It is way too urgent. These two angels, white apparel, they said to the apostles in verse 11, it says, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Jesus had just ascended. Why do you gaze into heaven?" Imagine that. Your master just left and you're just standing there. What do we do now? All right. Joke's over, Jesus. He says, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." What did he mean by that? Get busy. That's what he meant by that. He meant, get busy. He left that way. He's coming back that way. And it's going to be quicker than you know it. So you don't have time to stand around and gawk. Get on mission. Amen. Lastly tonight, we see the main point of the message tonight. Number three, the Holy Spirit empowers disciples to be on mission for Jesus. Look at verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It's a tall task. That's huge, people. Hey, church, the uttermost part of the earth still hasn't been covered yet. They're going to need something. They're going to need something more than their Israelite education. They're going to need something more than just their band of brotherhood. They're going to need something more. They're going to need power. Dynamite power. Gospel power. Holy Spirit power. That's what they were going to need. Camp, we learned that King David stood out from the rest, did we not? Seven brothers walked by, none of them were good enough. But David stood out. Why was that? It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And from that day forward, the Lord was with him. So, young people, I'm going to ask you a few questions tonight. How did David behave himself wisely for so long? Don't answer out loud. The Lord was with him. How? Through his Spirit. How did David kill Goliath? The Lord, through his Spirit, was resting on him. Why did David have favor with all of the people? Because the Lord was with him. How could have David resisted his sin with Bathsheba? By relying on the Lord that was with him. You see, you're no different than David tonight. Do you believe that? Can I turn my preach down for just a minute and just say, do you believe that? You're no different than David. I've got no news for you. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. David never heard the audible voice of God as far as I know. The prophets did, but David didn't. But the Spirit of the Lord was nonetheless on David. You know you're no different? If you've been saved, if you've repented and turned to Jesus, you've got God on you, young person. The same Lord that was on David, the same Lord that empowered him, the same Lord that gave him victory, the same Lord that gave him victory over the fiercest of foes, is the same Lord that is on you and lives in you through His Spirit. You have power, young people. You have resurrection power living inside of you. Not because of the church you go to. Not because of the family you were raised in. The school you go to. The preacher you heard at camp. Or anything like that. You have power tonight because of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Sorry, Star Wars crept in again, I guess. One of the things that Darth Vader told Luke, his son, by the way, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. One of the things Darth Vader told Luke to get him to turn to the dark side was, if you only knew the power of the dark side. Young person, if only you knew the power of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, it would turn your world upside down. Great, I've got power. What's this power for? You have power to fight sin in your life. You have power to honor your parents. You have power to grow in godliness. You have power, men, to respect women. You have power, ladies, to need no man's approval but the approval of your Father in heaven. You have power not to gossip and cause drama. You have power to say no to pornography. You have power to take every wicked thought and imagination captive and bring them to Jesus. You have power to be kind and gracious to others. You have power to serve Jesus as faithfully, listen, as faithfully and fruitfully as any adult in here. You have power. Lastly, the Spirit empowers you to be on mission for Jesus. The mission here is being a witness to all the world. So let's start there. You have power to be a witness. To your friends, to people you meet in the community, to your siblings, to your family. You have power to be on mission in your home, at your church, at your school, at your job, and in your free time socially. You have power to be on mission. I want you to catch this. I've got a couple more statements and we're done. The Holy Spirit wasn't just given to you so that you would be powerful. His power is contingent on being on mission for Jesus. Did you hear that? He didn't just give you some, like, you don't have superpowers. That's not how it works. He says you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes into you to be a witness. And if you aren't experiencing His power or working in your life, it may just be that you aren't on mission for Him. Is God working in your life, young person? In conclusion tonight, the thriving, faithful, fruit-filled Christian life can only come from being in possession of the Holy Spirit and being filled by Him daily. So, I have two questions for Fellowship Youth tonight and two questions for you, church. Have you ever received the Holy Spirit? I don't mean some second anointing. I don't mean this extra jolt of power. I'm talking about, have you ever repented and turned to Jesus and asked him to save your soul? It's at that moment you receive the Spirit. And number two, are you being filled by him every day? Now, again, that doesn't mean he just makes it, he's like we are with our homes. He's coming in and out, never know when he's going to stop. No. To be filled means to be controlled. Are you being controlled by him every single day? If you've never received the Spirit tonight, I want to invite you to do that. Jesus wants to fill you with his Spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, the people that Peter just preached to, he preached the gospel to them. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, turn to Jesus, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So how do you receive the Spirit tonight? You repent. You turn to Jesus. You call on him to save you. And if you aren't living a Spirit-filled life every day, I want to challenge you young people. Wake up every morning. Pray for the Father to fill you with his Spirit and live every single moment of your life as though you are living in the conscious presence of God. Would you stand with me tonight?